could see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study tonight on a Friday night. Don't you have better things to do tonight than do a Bible study with this crazy guy here? Welcome. Every week, every Friday. Next week, in maybe a couple days, I'm going to be gone somewhere, and I won't know really till Sunday or Monday. I'll announce it next week if I'll be gone a couple of days somewhere. Family, I see a big difference. People pretending to be Christians, I have to say that, because they're pointing you toward other Bibles. And then when I staunchly defend the King James Bible, and they say, well, the NASB and ESV are okay, and so forth. I said, well, no, it's not, because they're missing verses. And they come back and said this, like maybe 10 minutes ago, you're wrong. I said, why am I wrong? You're misconstruing the facts. What facts? Facts are is missing words, missing verses. And even some of the actual authors of NASB, he retracted his actual statement, his actual endorsement from the NASB. He says, I'm sorry I did it, and so forth. You know, it's corrupt. That's a fact, you know. And then I said, well, and the others, the verses are not there. They're removed. Now, how do you misconstrue that fact that they're not there? You know, how do you do that? It's like buying a book, and the guy says, oh, the book's really good, and you get the book, novel, and it's missing pages. It's blacked out with a black magic marker. You say, well, I want my money back. And he says, why? Because it's missing pages and verses, or pages and paragraphs are marked out. No, you're wrong. And you say, what do you mean I'm wrong? You're just misconstruing the facts. Yeah. I mean, it gets ridiculous. It's just, it's that out of whack. It's just unbelievable how people can't see it because they're blinded by one way or another. You know, if the, this is almost ridiculous to say, if the verses weren't missing or, you know, and they were really close to the King James and the, you know, Westcott and Hort, who were two Freemasons, wouldn't have corrupted every single one of them except for the King James. I'd say, well, yeah, the NASB is just as close. It's good. But it's not. You know, it just isn't. I don't favor the King James because I have some particular cult group or I'm a King James only, onlyist. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're an onlyist. Well, yeah, because the others are corrupted. Hello. So you're branded as a King James Version onlyist. This is beyond ridiculous. I mean, it just, I can't hardly understand this. I mean, how do you look and just, the verses are gone? They're just gone. Common sense tells you, I want a Bible that has all the verses in it. I mean, that's, it's just beyond my understanding. Unless they're just completely blinded so much that they can't see that. Wow. Tonight, we're going to finish up, hopefully, on how to beat these, or how to deal with these generational curses. This is what's destroying the families today. Not only the techniques and methods that they're using to destroy the family, in the ways I've talked about, you know, Vladimir Lenin, and how you destroy the country, you destroy the family, and feminism, and just a load of different ways of doing it. School, college, schools, or humanist schools, confirmed. Every school teaches humanism. While you work, they teach your children Marxism and socialism in a very sneaky way. And this is proven fact. Fact, absolute doggone fact. I mean, you know, people don't want to see it, and they argue with, and you say, well, let me show you the evidence. No, I don't want to see the evidence. What? But you're ridiculous. You're a conspiracy theorist, and there's no such thing. And the schools have not taught socialism. I said, well, I can show you where they are. Let me show you. No, I don't want to see it. It's like, what are you talking about? Challenge it, man. But they don't even want to know. And yet they still deny it. Mm-mm-mm. What do you do? Any suggestions? I'm open. Only thing you can do, I got it. I know, pray. Yes, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to get through to them and move on. I know, that's a school book answer. And it is the answer. But sometimes you just want to say, look, I mean, answer me, why can't you see the missing verses? You know why you can't see the missing verses? They're not there. So now tell me, you know, boy, oh boy. Let's dedicate the broadcast and get moving. That's my rant for the evening. It's just mind-boggling sometimes. And these are smart people, man. They're really smart people and all this. And they just won't see it. You got people at Harvard that will argue with you blue in the face. Harvard or any other college. I'm a theologian. I've studied the Bible for 30 years. Okay. For 30 years, you didn't see that missing verse? Oh, I know it's missing. Yeah. All right. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. Father, we call upon you, Lord, to bless us tonight. Lead us in the right path. Give us wisdom, discernment, that, Father, we can have this study tonight and learn something from it. And, Father, to pass those on to others, what we learn. Father, we ask you to bless our families, our homes, Father, our friends, and those that we all come in contact with to pass the true word of God on to others. Father, to spread the blood of Jesus around us, to keep us strong and straight, that, Lord, that we won't fall away and move to one side or the other, that, Lord, when we do, that you will put this conviction in our hearts, Father, to put us back on the right track. We ask you, Lord, for Holy Spirit help. we're talking to others, that, Lord, that will share the gospel, but, Father, that you'll open their eyes. Take the scales off. Open their ears so they can hear. And the scales off their eyes, they can see. And, Father, give us that wisdom discernment that, Lord, that when the time comes, we'll be able to spread the true word of God in the time that becomes those days of the tribulation. And, Father, no one knows the day or the hour, but, Father, that we're always prepared no matter what. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible, the true word of God. And all these things we pray tonight. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. And to give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, be sins or transgressions, as we forgive our debtors, forgive those sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory is forever. Amen. The model prayer, which is set for the disciples to pray, that's a prayer that Jesus can't pray. He can't pray that prayer. Jesus can't pray that prayer, because he's not a sinner. He's already forgiven. That's disciples' prayer. It's a prayer for those that's human. But it's the Lord's prayer, because it belongs to him, and he gave it to us. He's just one he can't pray, because he's not a sinner. How do you know if something's demonic? You know, we're all complicated beings with physical, psychological, spiritual components of some sort here and there. It's not always easy to get to the bottom of a problem or a conflict. Got to make sure you evaluate all the physical factors and you sift through the emotional issues that seem to arise. But you know, sometimes a spiritual overlap is a way that, doesn't allow us for purely medical or psychological explanations. You always have Dr. Phil. You can trace the issues back, like Columbo, to logical progression of things. Stressed because not gotten enough sleep, maybe, or you're in conflict because of some dysfunctional relationship, on and off, here and there. This isn't always that simple, though. Sometimes you got to ask if the enemy is at work behind the scenes and not alive behind the curtain. Even in the New Testament, primarily in the New Testament, is God gives us plenty of examples of Satan at work. There are Old Testament examples also throughout the Bible, but primarily in the New Testament, Jesus focuses on devils and demonic influence. Saul was driven mad by his demonic influences, which he dabbled with. Job's crisis was instigated by Satan's work. But, you know, the preponderance of the examples that apply to the church to this day are found in New Testament accounts. Now, it doesn't necessarily imply that demonic influences is always involved. Sometimes it's just us and sinning. But there's a lot of symptoms that a doctor observes that he knows conditions that can cause these symptoms, but he has to narrow it down to the true source from what he knows. If they're Freemasons, well, there you go. The Bible doesn't imply that all the symptoms are demonic, but does warn us to consider demonic as possible source, See? You have what's severe sickness. Matthew 12:22. You have a severe sickness, maybe, of some kind. And they will always stay with some kind of a secular or a physical reason. They can't handle it if you say, well, maybe it's my family's cursed, because that's a very good possibility. Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. So, there are some kinds that are untrainable by conventional wisdom or medicine. If you encounter some kind of bizarre or complicated sickness that has not been responded to treatment, it's at least possible, according to Scripture, that there's some demonic source behind it. We also know for a fact that HIV and other diseases, cancer, are created in the laboratory by design. We know that happened in Fort Detrick, Maryland, that HIV was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland from nothing. They created it to kill. They weaponized HIV. That's proven. There's no question about that. Of course, those in denial say, oh, no, that's ridiculous. Well, no, the evidence proves otherwise. Cancer was created in this laboratory, so I could name several others, actually. It's where Ebola comes from, and the Gulf War Syndrome is a virus that's a derivative of the HIV. The cancer virus was also created in the laboratory for population reduction a long time ago. You know, we consider diet and physical conditioning and exposing to toxins and the other factors in diagnosing a disease. I mentioned to you all before that, in fact, they put fluorine in water beginning of the year 1900 A.D. Fluorine in the water for teeth. Well, it wasn't for that at all. It was for medication. Mass medication. People didn't know it then. Still don't even today. Then in 1930s or 40s, they waited, and then they started making aluminum pots and pans by design. And coffee makers. I have this documented. This is not me connecting dots. This is documented. Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr. This is documented. You understand this? That this is what they did. And then they made pots and pans out of aluminum, and then combined the aluminum, of course, with the water that's for cooking, with fluorine in it. That's what they did before. Caused, by design, chronic fluorosis. That wasn't demonic. That was demonic in doing it, but it was created by those that was possessed, called New World Order. It's worthwhile on some occasions to also examine the spiritual factors, is where we're headed tonight, that may be behind it all. On a few rare occasions, you might find some people that's exhausted every medical option, discovered demonic influence as the source of the sickness. Intensive spiritual warfare, prayer at that time in those cases, provided the cure. Pope knows that. Priests know that. They have exorcists. They go to exorcist school. What they're not telling the parishioners is that there's a cooperation between the supernatural realm, the demons, and the Roman Catholic doctrine, and the priests. Same way that the voodoo witch doctors and the rainmakers and magicians have a cooperation between the demonic realm and them, because the Roman Catholic Church is based on pagan root system. That's a fact. To draw them to there, the cooperation between the demonic realm that's causing the sickness and the priest doing the exorcism gets the person well, because the demon comes out as on cue. Makes a person well, because it's caused by the demon anyway, which gives a respect or a following of that priest and a Roman Catholic doctrine. This is confirmed by Alberto Rivera, a Jesuit priest that they murdered. I'm not making this up. I'm not connecting the dots. I'm telling you what Alberto Rivera said of the Roman Catholic Church, and he was a trained Jesuit. that went rogue on them said this. Then you have divination, Acts 16, 16. Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit divination met us, which brought her master as much gain by soothsaying. That's where they get their powers from, demonic realm. That's where your super soldiers and your Pentagon remote viewing comes from, was demonic realm. Not all fortune tellers are fakes. Some have a genuine ability to divine the future. But they get an ability because the demons, the fallen angels, the demons give them that thought, then they make sure it happens. It's not really looking in the future at all. It's about them giving a prediction of the future. The demon follows because that person is now given rise to possession. The demon will then follow those folks and then make things happen to where it's going to come true. You see how it works? They're not really telling the future. The demon makes it happen. That's why it just comes close. Not quite really happens the way it says, but it comes really close. Those who are con artists are just that. Those who aren't con artists receive their abilities from demons. Avoid all of them. Have you ever dabbled in trying to tell the future, whether those seemingly innocent board games or tarot cards or any other such practices, it's important to consider whether or not the current problems are a result of demonic influence that you may have invited into your life at that time. Anything you do should be in the glory of God. You see, if it's not, it's coming from demonic influence. And our pride won't let us admit it. We start taking the credit for ourselves. Look what I can tell because I know numbers. Look what I can tell because I can do this. Oh, Tom, you're great. Yes, I know. You want to think anything else? I'll tell you. Just come on by and I'll let you know what I do. Oh. You get caught up in it. Not good. Bad. Solomon found that out. Unusual physical strength. Mark 5:2-3. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, with a small s, of course, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains. He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, whoa, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. That's in Mark 5, and it goes on to talk about that. Oh, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried out in a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thee torment me not. For he said unto him, See, the demon's talking to Jesus through that man. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, My name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was a nigh in the mountains, a great herd of swine. You know the deal there. He cast the demon in the swine. Man, that's some bad pork. Now, that's what you call bad pork. Boy, that really ticked off the villagers. They lost 2,000 head of pork that day. This caused a bunch of demons. You know, I have Lord of the Flies, right? You have these scary movies and talks about flies and they fall. You see, demons are small specks of light, small specks of energy. That's all they are. They can reside inside a fly. That's why. So if they can't get into a human, they'll go into a pig or they go into whatever. That's the human host that they want to get inside of. Now, because you see movies and TV and all that, you associate it with fiction, with scary. Ooh, I love to be scared. Yeah, well, when it's real, not so. So the small specks of light creates illusion to make it look bigger. No such thing as ghosts. Can you imagine? They hear Mount Airy. Downtown, they have these ghost trips. You go down to the visitor center or something like that, and you pay like 10 bucks or 20 or something. And this guy, you got one guy in front of the group, one guy in the back carrying these lanterns, right? And they go around the different buildings around the town of Mount Airy and say, well, here is where blah, 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 blah. You got the point, right? And they explain the ghost and all this. Wouldn't that be something if someone come up, man, hey, can I have y'all's attention? You say, these aren't really ghosts that you're seeing. These are demons. Now, I imagine they're going to call the cops, or that's going to break up that ghost tour right quick to say they're not ghosts, the departed spirits of the people live there. How exotic that sounds. But these are demons that are dressed or an illusion of the humans that used to live there. The demons are there. These are demons you're seeing, and that's not so good. See, that would really tear up that ghost story, wouldn't it? Fits of rage, where they have personality changes. It's like, where'd that come from? I don't know. I don't work in with that. Mark 5:4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Fits of rage, uncontrollable, irrepressible rage that surpasses a normal emotional reaction, can be caused by demonic influence. Now let's jump here. That's by demonic influence. Causes you, me, whatever, if it was one of us, to have a fit of rage. Why would that happen? Because the frequency changes. The frequency changes. The frequency inside your body changes to 12 hertz. The demon causes a frequency rate in your body to change because of the influence inside. Now, watch this. Remember, I've said many times before about how they control the population with ELF transmission. They can synthesize demons with ELF transmission, with microwave technology, beam, aim at you with a microwave technology, increase the amount of hertz from 7.8 to 11 hertz targeted at you, or aimed at your DNA signature code, or to a town. They could do a whole square of a town, or a flash mob. 11 hertz. It causes them to have a fit of rage. So they make synthetic demonic influence. You see how that works? This is by frequency. This is amazing stuff. People have no idea. If they only knew. How about split personality? I talked about that in Mark 5 and 6 and 7. I already jumped ahead of that. The man is not talking. The demon's talking. He cried in a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? That's a demon talking. It's not the man talking. That's a demon inside the man talking. It's been known that some folks with a multiple personality in congregations, that's where your holy laughter, holy drunkenness, kundalini, doing weird things, jumping over pews and all this, that, and the other, and going counterclockwise at some of these fundamentalist churches. They get up. I saw this. I was in one of them. I was looking for the door, too. They started, the whole congregation, except for about five people in the pews, and there's a lot of people there. And when you go to these parties or something, they have that human chain thing where they bongo dance or I don't know, whatever it is. It's like that, and they go counterclockwise around the pews. I'm like, what in the world? So when I first got introduced to this, I just sure didn't go back. No, 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 no. And everybody's involved. I said, well, I didn't realize later. I said, wait a minute, it's just like they do in Mecca. always counterclockwise, a human chain going around something or another. That's for possession. Amazing. They can switch in an instant. It's called possession. Causes that. It's passed on. Split personalities. Resistance to spiritual help. Most people in Mark 5, 7. I already covered that. Not to be tormented. Most people who have serious problems welcome any help they can get. People who have an immediate negative reaction to spiritual help might be manifesting demonic resistance to the power of God, denying it. Well, that might answer my question a little while ago. The gospel is a threat to them just as a light is to darkness, and is becomes apparent in one case I'd read. In a funeral, teenage victim of a heroin overdose, it was reported that the auditorium was filled and had two-thirds of the people dressed in kind of gothic clothes and makeup. Very evil sense was there, according to the testimony, and is in a church. When they talked about it, they talked about the darkness of death and how they didn't want to die, but during the message, as soon as the name of Jesus was mentioned, a lot of them pushed back in their chairs, and some of them got up and left. Some received Christ, was freed, broke those chains. You can see it happening. The name of Jesus, not Yeshua, not Yahweh, none of that. The name of Jesus is powerful. Then you have other voices from within. Other voices. People talk about their experiences of hearing multiple voices that contradict God and His Word, or that cast a certain situation, confusion and darkness. Audible voices. This is where you have so-called Christians today. I know several of them that they, of course, blocked me, but on the audio of YouTube. But they were telling people that God still talks to you audibly in your head. I said, no, He don't. He says, the Holy Spirit talks to your heart. That's the voice. No. I said, yeah. And I explained to him voice-to-skull technology. I got blocked. You know what they're doing? They're preparing people for the coming Sanand Emmanuel and the fallen angels is coming as aliens. They're going to use the voice-to-skull technology that our veterans are experiencing every day of microwave beamed in voices. And thoughts can be implanted by using microwave technology. Now, I've proven this over and over with testimony on my other broadcast. So again, they can synthesize demonic influence as well as voices by having artificial synthetic telepathy by using microwave technology. So the demons inside can do the same thing. This is amazing stuff. And people have no idea and don't want to know. You see how influential this is. And then, of course, occult powers. This is used to pull people in. And the Freemasons at the highest level get these occult powers, makes them feel powerful. So first they make us all feel as humans inadequate in all the ways we've talked about. Then they say, but look what you can do. Oh, yeah. Look what I can do. Hey, I'm cool. No. It pulls people in. And this is even Christians who dabble in the divining rod thing going on, you know, with the divining rod finding water and all that. That's still wrong. And Reiki healing. All this stuff is demonic. Meditation, prayer is different than yoga meditation. I was in martial arts for karate for about 30 years. And in one style I was learning was Chinese martial arts. Tik Su Chang or something like that. No, it was, I forgot what it was now. It was like 20 years ago. I took 1 year of this Chinese stuff. I didn't fit for it. I took it, but, oh, man. Anyway, we got into meditation, chi development, and all this sort of thing. You can do pretty weird things when you start meditating and all that stuff. Well, you're opening yourself up for possession. In Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 11, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God shall drive them out from before thee. We try to justify it. People try to justify it. Well, I'm doing good. I'm doing it for good cause. But they all got to come to me to do it. You see there? So anything that fits this category of witchcraft and sorcery and spells and omens and mediums and spiritists, divination, or other supernatural contact outside of Jesus is a clear indication of this demonic influence. Now, last night we talked about biblical steps to deliverance. But first, you have to accept Christ. Armstrong, I found out, they don't believe in being born again. They have a twist to it. You're only born again when your body's changed, it's a twinkling of an eye, and your body's changed to the supernatural, but by this, too late. See what they're passing? The Armstrong, Worldwide Church of God. Bad news. These people are good, too, though. I tell you, they are good. They can fool you one upside down the other. David Pack, he's one of them. Seventh-day Adventists, they can fool you. They come so close. Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons. Others are placating you. They're really good at this. Family, it's not about religion. It's about Jesus. Accept Christ. Two was repent of known sin. That's pretty self-explanatory. Renounce the works of the devil. And then, sort of what we talked about today at the broadcast, was destroying the occult objects. They got to go, or render them null and void, but normally you got to destroy them because they have demonic influence on them. That's really hard to really comprehend, isn't it? But it's true. That'd be number four. So, number five is to break unholy friendships. Ooh, that's a hard one. Now, if you're married, that's why I say don't marry outside your marriage of like kind. So to break friendships with people in the occult, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 16. Second Corinthians 6, 14 to 16. Be ye not unequally yoked together with an unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes in the infidel? And what agreement hath that temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In one way, the wife sanctifies the husband, and the husband sanctifies the wife. But religions also play a part. For a Protestant to marry a Catholic, get ready. For a Protestant to marry a Muslim, Muslim to marry a Jewish to marry a Muslim, that ain't gonna work. A Jewish to marry a Protestant, that ain't gonna work. You're gonna have problems. You know, I know I was married at one time, and we'd go to Catholic church, okay, then we'd go to Protestant church, okay. So back and forth, you know, and I sort of had to get used to the Catholic way of doing things a long time ago, and it's okay. And I remember we was going up the aisle one day to go inside the pews, and my wife then, she dropped down a knee, and I thought she fell. I reached down to pick her up, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Picking, I thought you fell." "No, you got to bend the knee to go in the pew." I said, "Oh, I felt foolish." You know. Then went to a Protestant church and Baptist church. He's raising Cain in Camp Lejeune. And one day in 1983, there was an attack on the military. It was Beirut or something, I believe. And they blew a barracks up. And I was a Marine then. And we were sitting there in the Baptist church. I remember, I ain't going to forget this. And the preacher said, "We're going to go find them. We're going to pray that they find them and kill those terrorists." And I'm like, "Oh, bye. Uh-oh." See, preacher isn't supposed to be saying that. And I just told him, I reached over and I said, "We ain't coming back here again." You know, because I'm supposed to be the one killing the terrorists. That's what I'm thinking, my thought. But not for a preacher to be saying that's not good. So I said, "He's not a good preacher." You know. Religion plays a big role in it. It happens. Breaking unholy relationships is not easy. I'm not saying it's not unholy. I'm just saying it's different protocol there. But because you got Baptist churches that are lost, you've got Presbyterian, you got religion is lost no matter what it is. Follow Jesus. It's not about religion. The doctor wears gloves and a mask to deal with a highly contagious patient, maintains a healthy separation from supernatural evil. There's one report, incident I read where a young staff member of a church was visiting and shared Christ in the home of a witch, which is pretty obvious. And he came to the office and described drawn curtains, no light, oppressive atmosphere, and joy in the midst of it all was the team shared the love of Jesus. Then with a sense of sobriety, the person said, "I'd never want to go there alone or without a lot of prayer first." A lot of wisdom to that. Break unholy friendships. You know, when you're married, you all hang around married people. Then somebody gets a divorce or widowed or something like that. You no longer really invited anymore. Your friends change. You go back to single groups. You're no longer invited to the married groups anymore because you're either divorced, and they have assumptions about divorcees and divorcers and whatever it is, divorcees and divorcettes, whatever. And so you're no longer invited to your little cookouts and all because you're different now. This is kind of the same thing in a way. Number six is rest in Christ's deliverance. Once you're delivered, once you've covered the first five steps of accepting Christ, repenting of sins, renouncing the works of the devil, or renouncing a blood oath if you're a Freemason. Hello. Destroying the occult objects, get them out of the house, cleaning house, breaking unholy friendships. You know, as a woman, oh, no, as a man too, I guess, you want to try to make things better for others, you know, whatever, that's your thought, I'm going to spread the gospel, but sometimes one or the other will say, well, will confuse wanting to help someone with falling in love with them. You're going to make that person better in your head. Well, not necessarily true. that person's unsaved, or you want to say, well, I'm just going to make that guy better. Well, it don't work out that way. It works opposite. So you got to do a lot of praying, a lot of fasting, maybe sanctifying. It may work. But what we're saying here, well, what I'm saying here, what I'm, research I've done, is that you go into it with someone like you, someone that's already saved. So witness to the person, yeah, but not to, into a relationship. Just a thought. Sometimes it might work. You never can tell. God will take you. I don't know. It's just something to consider. Be not ye unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That's all I can read. I just commented on it. It's not for me to judge or say. Rest in his deliverance. Once you've covered the first five steps I've mentioned, you rest in his deliverance. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now I'm hoping this weekend I'll have a Bible study for translation. It's really interesting between translation and ascension. Translation is changing your body structure. It's what's called translation. Resurrection, something else. Renew your mind to the point that you're able to clearly understand and depend on the safety found in Jesus Christ. I met this fellow today, the bookstore I go to. And, man, he knew a lot about the New World Order. Also noted on his little pinky, he had a pentagram. I said, oh. Okay. So we're talking. He knew a lot of stuff. He's a really friendly guy to talk to. But I noticed that pentagram on the finger. Anyway, long story short, I said, oh, yeah, I went to the Catholic. I was a Catholic once. And I left. That's what the Catholic Church does, I'm afraid. It causes people to be disillusioned, and they leave for various reasons. And other churches, because of hypocritical, I don't go to church because of hypocrite, and all so forth and so on. But here's the point. The human is searching for that spiritual connection, no matter what. So they purposely, this is the purpose of Westboro Baptist Church, is to come up with this weird, off-the-wall way they do things, and then you associate everybody else with their actions. And every other church is like them, you associate it with. So it drives people away from religion, which they associate Jesus with religion, therefore don't like Jesus. This is how they do it. This is about design. That's what purpose of Westboro Baptist Church is all about. This is their main driven, they're trained. These people are Illuminati, Christian identity, because I trace the connections. They're connected, all connected. Terry Jones, Phelps, Christian identity, Westboro Baptist Church, I found connections. James Dobson, all those guys. Council of National Policy. Oh, anyway. So that's what they're for, to drive people away. And connection. Love that connection. So they leave Baptist churches. They leave Roman Catholic churches. Here's my point. The body strives to find some spiritual connection. So they join paganism. You'd think, well, if you left the church, why join anything? You just left the church. But no, it's called the dialectic. So they know if they chase them out, then they'll go straight to a paganism. There's nothing else left. And that's what happens. And that is the New Age movement. Or Chrislam. Yeah, you got it? They're doing it. This is by design. This is so clever. Anyway, evil but clever. When you follow the steps at this point, it won't make the enemy go away, but he puts up a fight. If you have the strong man demon, you've got to deal with. And Scripture teaches you that when the demon's cast out, he goes and gets the most wicked cohorts and returns with a vengeance. Get ready. Unless truth and focus took the place when he left, the house has to be put in order before the demonic spirits will leave it alone. They'll come back again. Don't think because I got delivered and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, yeah, you do. Number 7. Resist the devil. And in this step, James 4, 1 to 10, kind of lays it out for you. In James 1 through 10, it gives a complete picture of the New Testament repentance and resistance. Four, one to ten. You gotta submit to God. And that any area of your life that's not submitted to God in your behavior and your thinking will come under his authority. So, for example,
come they not hence, even
whoop,
of your...
Here we go.
James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
So, any area of your life is not submitted to God in your behavior, thinking it's got to come under his authority. So, looking on the flip side of submitting to God is resisting the devil. So, insist that you're not going to fall for his schemes anymore. He's sneaky. You kind of turn away from whatever activity or false belief you once practiced or held, and draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. So the moment you come to God with a broken and contrite heart, God will rush to you. And then you read about the prodigal son, Luke 15, all through 11 to 32 chapter with verses Luke 15:11-32. The father has been watching and waiting, and when his son returns, he runs to embrace him. There's no crossed arms or raised eyebrows, no lingering resentment. He'll throw a party. Then renew your mind. Number 8. Meditating on and applying the word of God. You look up Matthew 4, verse 4 and verse 7 and verse 10. And Ephesians 6, verse 17. By renewing your mind. Fill the mind with good things. TV is bad news. I got rid of my TV 6 years ago. When I got now, I got in the closet I couldn't give away. I don't think I'd give away the parts for it. Anyway, you can read the New Testament 2 or 3 weeks. That'd be interesting. You know, many Christians who can read 500-page novels are shocked at the idea of reading through the New Testament. Sometimes we find excuses for not fasting or find excuses for not reading the Bible. Or you get real sleepy when you get ready to read the Bible. You can be your eyes opened watching TV all night or a book or a novel, but when it comes to reading the Bible, it's like, oh, being influenced. Review verses for a couple of minutes before you go to bed when you get up. Some little tricks you can use, or maybe just do it. Number 9 is pray with others. Maybe in corporate prayer. You know, you're never called to live the Christian life alone. No man's an island. Almost every New Testament command that one can find is in the second person plural. You all do these things. Some people say they've been identified a demonic influence and they've followed all these steps. Sometimes you need to get some key people if you go to a church to come together. It's hard to find churches today that are preaching the truth totally for repentance, deliverance. They're not doing it. If you find one, it is, and stick with it. Then if necessary, number 10, besides number 9 is pray with others, number 10, exorcise. E-X-O-R-C-I-S-E. The final step is the exorcism itself. In the name of Jesus, you'll find in Acts 16:16-8, a lot of supernatural in Acts 16:16-18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought his masters much gain by soothsaying. And it continues now. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to her spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the same hour. So he turned it around. Sometimes it's not even necessary, but neither should it be a foreign concept to us to exercise. But don't be messing with the ones from the second heaven. Or be ready if you have to, because they're powerful. This is not just movies, this is real. A qualified counselor is filled with the Holy Spirit, for starters, would be the one you'd want to use, or Ephesians 5:18 and Galatians 5:16, they talk about the importance of a spirit-filled life. Someone who performs an exorcism needs to have the kind of humility that's expressed there in James 4:7-10. You should wear the spiritual armor, definitely, that talks about in Ephesians 6. You should know the Word of God in order to use it as Jesus did in Matthew 4. Be supported by prayers of other believers. You're going to need it. Matthew 18:19. or Ephesians 6, verse 18. Some of these churches are going to experience it. They're going to freak out, too. They're not going to know what to do. All their nice little church meetings, quiet, pass the plate, are going to be turned around. Will they be prepared for it? Because it's coming. It's coming. They just don't know when. It's going to be regular, ordinary believers with the badge and authority of Christ. It's going to address demonic issues and, when necessary, to command demons to leave. And the Nephilim, the humans that are going to be possessed, fully possessed. They're not prepared for this. It doesn't take some hyper-spiritual, highly specialized super saints. It takes courageous believers who know that they, you know, who they are in Christ and who understands that the foe is formidable, but who do not fear him, who are willing to exercise the power and authority of Christ under the grace and armor of God. How they know? Is it the aura you put out that they can see you can't? Or is it some mark that God puts on you where they can see it, you can't see it, but they can see the mark that God's put on you that tells them that? Knowing the power of Christ in this battle that's coming, it doesn't mean things are going to be real easy. And also, it doesn't mean you'll never have a bizarre, some kind of frightening experience of your own. When you start dealing with the supernatural, you would have those little hairs standing up on the back of your neck. Those little black-eyed children come to your door. Or demonic influence from people that you know are possessed, what are you going to do? Everybody else is going to freak out. Running to the refrigerator, pulling out the garlic may not work. Holding the crucifix up ain't going to work. A silver bullet's not going to work. But the power of God, it's going to work. But you better be prayed up. And come into the full armor of God and not be afraid. Claim right now, the greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Command them to leave you alone by his great name and power. Depart from this bedroom and go where Jesus sends you. Amen. It's called spiritual warfare. It's coming. Just keep your gun loaded, your spiritual gun. Right now, we don't know what's going to happen. Helter skelter, when this thing takes off, no idea. But you'll know when it happens, that's for sure. Family right there just made it. To be freed is what we kind of talked about tonight. This is the shed blood of Jesus. And I gave you kind of the basic steps that I've seen in other methods as well. Almost followed exactly what I said. And we'll refresh it next week because this family, this is the war. That's yet to come. Man, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's not to be afraid of. It's to embrace it, to get ready for it. When everybody else is going to fall away and cower, it's time for you to step up. And spiritual warfare beats your front door. And time to lead others to Jesus. Family, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, by golly. So thank you all for coming by. You know, we had some people from another countries too tonight. And this is a small group today. And I appreciate you all stopping by. and engaging. Y'all have a good night. We're going to close in prayer. And then, and away we go. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Brought us together. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us about spiritual warfare. And Father, to handle the times that's going to come when the days that these demons are going to appear. The Lord, when they manifest themselves openly, that Father, you give us that anointing, that Father, will lead us to help others to get rid of these demons. Give us the words to speak if we become silent, to give it courage if we become afraid. That Lord, to drive us to could help us with those fall with those warring angels to drive these demons away. And give us that wisdom, discernment, to minister to others, to help them get through it. Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us. And Father, the opportunity we have to learn your word. And Father, to give us that wisdom to be able to apply it. We pray for our families, we pray for our friends and our ones that ask us to pray for, that Father, that the missionaries will be given what they need in these other countries, and Lord, others that need help at getting their families together to deal with their own divine appointments. We pray for them also. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, there you are. Y'all. So I appreciate y'all dropping by. And, you know, no man is an island. Took me a while to figure out that what that really meant. No man works by himself. You're always connected. No man is an island of his own. So family, the time's going to come when you're going to be needed. And I'm sure you're going to be there for them. Because they're going to need it. And people right now don't really see it. But it's coming. Y'all have a good night and God bless y'all. And we'll see y'all next week. No man's an island. By 10th Avenue North.
I won't run. I will stay. I'm not leaving you. I know there's friction here. The struggle makes us new. I wish you never thought you had to go. I wish you never thought you had to leave. Together we can lift each other up. We can build a shelter for the weak. No man.
let's reach out to something higher. Ain't no life outside each other.
We are not alone.
Through trouble or rain or fire, let's reach out to something higher. Eyes open to one another.
We are not alone.
Through trouble or rain or fire, let's reach out to something higher. Ain't no life outside each other.